Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thank you very much for joining me on the pod for today as we continue to, not sprint, not even really walk, meander. I think maybe that's the word we're looking for. Meander towards the playoffs. This last little bit of time is for teams like the Grizzlies and the majority of the West. When you're settled in, this part of the year is it takes forever. It takes for absolute ever, and there's just nothing really to play for. Everything is set. Everything is done. You are spinning your wheels really until the postseason actually hits. Now, over in the East, there are at least a few things that are up for grabs. There's some seeding stuff that's still up for grabs. I mean, still at the bottom, you don't actually know who is going to be in the 7th and 8th spots. If you haven't watched the Eastern Conference, you didn't see the situation. It's fun to watch. You had teams. On Monday night, you had a lot of teams, really needing to win and getting the win, including a heck of a performance from the Heat against the Cavs. Cavs deciding really that they're more interested in kind of trying to manage their roster and manage their time rather than worry too much about seeding. They've opened up their opportunity for the Celtics to be the number one overall seed over in the East, and so it's going to be two of either down at the bottom of that thing once they figure that the top part is already personnel wise is figured out, but they don't exactly know the seeding in the bottom though. They're still going to be two of Indiana, Chicago, and Miami. A little convoluted how that whole thing is going to play out after the games on Tuesday and Wednesday. From a Grizzlies perspective, everything is settled. Seed settled, opponent settled, timing is settled, everything is settled. It's just now a matter of getting yourself kind of ready to you want to play, but you also want your rotations to be where they need to be. You want your confidence level to be good. You want your execution level to be good. All that stuff you want to be. To be good, and so that's where the Grizzlies are at right now. Did not practice on Monday. They are expected to practice later on today, but on Monday, more of a maintenance type day. I did see, as we talk a little bit about a few things here, getting set for the game Wednesday and then on into the postseason. I did see a lot of the hubbub or the discussion that has centered around Tony Allen of late. I saw Jeff Calkins of the Commercial Appeal with a column writing about Tony Allen and about the possibility of him coming back. I know it's something that David Fizdale was quoted talking a little bit about over the last few days in saying something to the effect of like if we could work things out with management. Yes, I've already spoken to, I think the quote is again something to the effect of, I've already spoken to management, and if we can work something out to keep Tony Allen, I would love to have him. And the discussion about Tony, what it means, and in the column from Calkins was what you would expect, which was a lot of discussion about what he means, what it's like to be a fan of Tony Allen, and this was precipitated by the Tony Allen pepper grinders, which were on offer for some fans on Sunday. But it does bring up the interesting discussion about what the future holds for Tony Allen and what the future should hold for Tony Allen. A lot of you guys I would imagine, have your opinion on this matter. And it's a tricky one. Not easy to figure out. Not easy to walk the tightrope here. You know, I don't think, I've said it before, I'm sticking with it. In spite of that quote, I think if push comes to shove, you know, I think that you would want to see. And, you know, what you want is not always what you get. You would want to see, if push comes to shove, the relationship end in a mutually beneficial fashion. You would like for the thing to end with a handshake. You'd like the thing to end on the happiest possible note. The winningest, happiest possible note. You would like that. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, in spite of what those comments are all about, I think ultimately David Fizdale would probably want to turn the page on grit and grind. And I think it's hard to envision a more obvious choice for the embodiment of grit and grind than Tony Allen. It's hard to imagine a guy that would be more obvious and more appropriate. And so I can't just see that in all things. In, again, this is, you know, just my opinion. Who can say? But all things being equal, I think David Fizdale would just as soon turn the page altogether and find a different way to go. Will that be possible? I don't know. Is that the way that it's going to go down? Who can say? I just think if that were the case, I think that's the situation. I think you'd rather have that clean break. I think that you have to kind of do the calculus at this point with Tony. You have to figure out how much, first of all, you know, how much are you going to pay him? How much is he worth? How much is he going to give you? And, you know, how much can he give you without detracting from what it is that you're trying to do? You know, Tony is a unique guy. It was funny talking to him the other night about, you know, these end of season games that don't necessarily matter from an outcome perspective, but, you know, you're just trying to kind of tighten things up a little bit. And one of the things that he said that he was talking about with the young players was, you know, pay attention in the huddles. And that's, he even kind of chuckled when he said that, because he knew, you know, coming from him, the dude that's wandering around the middle of huddles, the guy that's not even, you know, really focused in a traditional way in the huddles, you know, for him telling the young guys that, it's a bit rich. That's where things are with him. You know, he's a unique guy. He's a unique guy. And, you know, whatever happens does not diminish what he's done over the last seven seasons. Doesn't diminish it at all. Shouldn't diminish it. Shouldn't change a thing. Things happen. And you have to make that determination about, you know, how much, what does it mean? How do you turn the page? How do you go on? How much do you value nostalgia? Can you afford to have a nostalgia player on your team? You know, do you want that to be the case? You know, those are all the questions that kind of go into it. And, you know, I still think Tony Allen, you know, can play. I still think Tony Allen can provide so much. But it's sporadic. It's now in bursts as opposed to a little more consistent. Tony's always been a, you know, the classic trick or treat. Everyone knows about trick or treat Tony. You know, there have been more tricks and probably fewer treats, or maybe the same number of treats, but more tricks. The balance, you know, on the offensive side, I think Tony is done a better job, and you know, Fizdale deserves credit for trying to maximize and use him properly and not just totally run away from, you know, what we've seen in the playoffs with Tony Allen and teams defending him. He hasn't, you know, Fizdale hasn't run from that. He's tried to use what Tony does really well and encouraged him, I think, to cut, which is a big thing that Tony does, has good timing on cuts. You know, crashing glass, doing a great job of offensive rebounding for his position. You know, that's, he's one of the best offensive rebounders still for his position. He gets in there and has no fear and can get some putbacks and can generate offense that way. I think that way, though, and all that stuff that we talk about, all those things that he's encouraged to do are kind of incompatible with what Fizdale actually wants the Grizzlies to end up looking like, his vision for how they're going to actually play. You know, it's one thing to maximize what you get from Tony Allen while acknowledging that, you know, he has significant limitations. It's another thing to actually turn the page and try something different and put someone in that position that can actually shoot, can make threes. You know, the defensive side is valuable, very valuable, and you will have guys, and there will be a drop-off no matter what happens there. When on the occasion that you see really Tony totally into it, doing everything that he can possibly do on the defensive end, on those occasions when you see that, he's transcendent, he's phenomenal. He can change games at the defensive end that in a way that nobody can. He can take over a game with his perimeter defense. Can completely take over a game. It's remarkable to watch. It can be done, and he's done it. But again, I don't think that's compatible with what the Grizzlies are ultimately going to look like, or what David Fizdale wants them to look like. So to me, it's less a question about what are they going to do, you know, working the money out. The money stuff, to me, it they can work it out if they really want to. You know, he's not going to make enormous, enormous money. So, I mean, he has to just kind of come to grips with that. The Grizzlies certainly know that. They can make this money work. They could do it if they really want to. The question is just simply, do they really want to? And should they at this point, or should they just decide to go in a different direction altogether and not worry about it? It's, to me, I think the money will squeeze a little bit. I'm not saying the money isn't, you know, somewhat important. I just think ultimately they could certainly work it out if they wanted to. The question is simply, do they want to, and is it in their best interests to? And I think in both cases the answer is kind of more no than people would care to admit. What that means for the eulogies and for the end of grit and grind, all that stuff, that's what we will have plenty of discussion about that, I promise you, at that time. But for now, based on the increase in the coverage and the discussion and all that stuff, I thought I'd throw in my two cents in the middle of the thing too. Big shout out to our friends over at Grizz Essentials, who you don't have to worry about the money side of things so much with this little promo code that we've got for you. It's promo code playoffs. Go to grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Use the promo code playoffs, and you get that first month absolutely free. Great service, fabulous gifts. In fact, My wife was at the Grizz game the other night wearing that Grizz Essentials shirt that the folks at Grizz Essentials, the box that I got, and it's really a classic. It's a cool shirt. Looks great. Got a lot of compliments, you know, from folks on it because it's a Grizzly shirt, but it's a unique Grizzly shirt. It looks different. It's something that you don't see every day. It's not the usual, you know, jersey or shirzy or any of that stuff. It's something that's different. It's your own fandom taken to the different to a different level, and you can do it super, super inexpensively compared to what you're going to get, what you're actually going to get, the value of the unique products that you get. You know, they really pair with local vendors in a lot of cases to do some of the art for a lot of these things that you won't be able to get anywhere else. And it truly is a local product. It's really about not only the Grizzlies, but also the Mid-South, the city and the surrounding area, and honoring all of that, you know, really doing, you know, being a fan of the whole thing. It's cool. It's a really unique way to approach it. I love what they do. I love the boxes that you get. I love the quality of the products. I love the quality of those guys. And it's Mark and Courtney. They're working, you know, small business, just doing things the best they can to support their family and to do something cool for you guys out there as Grizz fans. So great way to support a fellow Grizzly fan, to support this podcast, and to really support yourself with some awesome gear and some incredible products. Go to grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies and you can click around and find out all the information that you need to find out, see what's out there, see what they've done in boxes past. And if you use that promo code playoffs, when you go to grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies, when you use that promo code playoffs, you're going to get that first month absolutely free of charge. Again, thank you to the great folks at Grizz Essentials. Also, keep an eye out for what's happening with Troy Williams, the one who potentially got away from the Grizzlies. Since he started in Houston, he has now started 3 games. He was a starter the other night for Houston, or the other afternoon, I should say. James Harden had his 21st triple-double of the year, but Troy Williams played 36 and a half minutes in that game, scoring 12 points, grabbing 9 rebounds. He is shooting 50% from 3 in his limited time, or rather 50% of the field in his limited time with Houston, 41% from 3. He's doing so well that the Rockets are considering him, you know, putting him into the playoff rotation to replace the minutes that Sam Decker was going to play. But Decker has that hand injury, so you know he's not going to be able to play those minutes. They need someone to potentially come in and grab a few of those, and that looks like it's going to be Troy Williams. Boy, from a Grizzly perspective, and you know, maybe this puts extra pressure on Wayne Selden, or maybe it puts extra pressure on the front office to find something in Wayne Selden so that they can have a hit. And so they can have a hit in, you know, in that same grouping with Troy Williams. If he's good enough to make the Rockets playoff rotation, then, and you let him go in order to, you know, basically facilitate keeping Tony Douglas around for a while, and then ultimately, you know, Wayne Selden kind of taking that spot. You know, for the Tony Douglas thing is just brutal. It's just brutal. The way that spot on the roster has been handled, the way it was handled this year, and the way that Tony Douglas stuck around far, far longer than he probably should have. It could end up being a very costly, if understandable, situation. You can understand to some extent the need for help at the backup point guard spot, but my goodness, if you have a guy in William, look at the young roster, look at the young guys the Grizzlies are dealing with. You know, he would be ahead of the game, ahead of pretty much everyone else except for Deontay Davis. And you know, there was a reason why the Grizzlies kept him around originally at the end of the training camp. There was a reason why he was able to get that spot and force the Grizzlies to cut ties with Jordan Adams. Not something they wanted to do right away, but he was too good. He did too much. And I think the Grizzlies kind of overthought it a little bit throughout the course of the season. One other quick thing before we wrap up this edition of the pod, I wanted to give you one quick number and something a little exclusive, something that you'll only find here. As we continue this week, I'm going to honor throughout the week, you know, Mike Conley, who I think is the Grizzly MVP. I don't think it's really even that close. You know, this year we're going to do, and I mentioned we're going to do some awards and stuff, but for the MVP, it's going to be Mike Conley. He is certainly worthy of it, has been the best Grizzly player. But I talked a little bit yesterday on the pod about his shooting ability and about coming off screens and how he's done some stuff statistically that we haven't seen anyone do. I mean, it's pretty amazing. His points per possession when it comes to coming off screens are so good. 1.32 points per possession. That is quite a bit ahead of Steph Curry, who, you know, is really good at coming off screens. Conley is even better. And he's actually put up numbers. No one in the last, I went back and looked, the Synergy data starts in the 04-05 season. No one has done it in that stretch of time, at least. Although going back to 04-05, with the amount of shots Mike Conley has taken to do it at the efficiency, no one has done that. No one has done that. So that was a big number for Mike the other day. Here's another one for you to highlight his shooting prowess and what he does. You know, when the defender, when Mike's in a pick and roll situation and the defender goes under the pick, so Mike shoots when a defender goes under the pick, Mike Conley's shooting 60% overall from the field in those situations. He's got an effective field goal percentage of 78.2% in those situations, and has a points per possession of 1.6. 1.6 points per possession in those situations. Second place among those that have had, even, and this is, you know, Mike's done that. He's had 55 such attempts this year, which is on the high side of the number. There are a few guys that have had around that number or more, but that's still probably on the high side of that figure. Second place after Mike's 1.6, Jeremy Lin at 1.28, then Darren Collison, then Damian Lillard at 1.26, Kyle Lowry at 1.25, Steph Curry, there he is again, 1.23, Isaiah Thomas 1.2, Dwayne Wade 1.18, surprisingly enough, Jimmy Butler 1.17, on down the list. This is among guys that have had at least 30 such possessions. Mike Conley 1.6, again, lapping the field in this number. Do not go under against Mike Conley. He will kill you. An incredible season for Mike Conley. Thanks so much for listening to the pod today. As always, get in touch with me via Twitter. I am at Peter Edmiston. That is the best way to get in touch with me. Big thank you to Grizz Essentials, as always, for their sponsorship. Big thank you to all of you guys for listening to the pod and subscribing and reviewing it. It would be great. I really do appreciate it. Until tomorrow, when we Kind of take a look ahead to the Mavericks game and wrap up the regular season here on Locked On Grizzlies. Everybody, have a great Tuesday.